Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, let's continue today. We'll take our text of scriptures for today from the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 4. The story I want to read is the story of Jabez. 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, from verse 9. It said, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother named him Jabez, saying that this is the reason why his name was Jabez. Because I bore him with pain," because the name Jabez meant sorrow. In verse 10, "Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from harm, that it may not pain me," or that it may not hurt me. And the Bible says, "And God granted him what he requested." Let me just tell a short story here. Just to try and make this thing real. Now, before I go into the story, let's remember that we're talking about the foundations and pillars of financial prosperity. That there are things that we do in life that sets our life in a particular direction. I have taught in previous times about what we call predestination. Now, what do you mean by predestination? The way we look at it is that whatever we be, and there is nothing you can do about it. But really, that's not what God calls predestination. What God calls predestination is that I have written a story about your life. Do you understand my point? And you have a responsibility to do the things that are necessary that your life on the earth may play out the story I wrote before you were born about you. Are you getting my point? That the fact that I wrote something about you does not make it compulsory that your life will experience it. The fact that I set a path for your life does not make it compulsory that you walk in that path. It is not correct theology. It's not correct understanding of spiritual things to say that a man's life has no choice but to follow a particular course. What we are saying, in effect, is that people are not responsible, all right, for their actions. What you are saying is that life doesn't respond to what they are doing. Somebody even told me as far as this, she even went further and said that even when she's doing something, that is, when you are even sowing seed, that she was destined to do that thing that she's doing. I said, no, it doesn't work like that. God made us to have free will. Do you get my point? He has a plan for your life. He has books. God recorded things down in heaven before you were born. But he does not say, it is not spiritual order that it is compulsory. All right? You must go through that. What actually he says is that you will do things that will put your life in that particular course. So if you go and read 2 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse 1, Paul said, "Seeing that we have these promises," and is referring to promises recorded in the last verses of chapter 6. He said, "Seeing we have these promises, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." That is, defilement of flesh, defilement of spirit, will prevent us from experiencing the promises that God has planned for us. Do you understand that point? That's it. That is, if we don't achieve holiness, if we don't perfect holiness in the fear of God, then we discover that the plan that God has for our lives doesn't work like that. There's a story I like to tell a lot of times to explain the second side to it. That is, as God has written a story, so Satan is trying to write a story for your life also. And then again, don't forget what I've said a lot of times. Satan doesn't have power to force his plan upon you. He does not have that power. He does not have that power. Alright? He writes a plan. And this is why I like to illustrate, so I don't spend time on it. Derek Prince was a great man of God, died a few years ago. He was casting out a familiar spirit out of a young woman who had a familiar spirit. And the familiar spirit, if you know what it is the kind of spirits that people use to do all kinds of practices. Evil spirits exist that can make people see visions, which are counterfeit manifestations, all right, in competing with the real manifestation of the Spirit of God. That is, you see people, all they do, they sit down in a place and they see visions of people. And people will come, pay them some money, and they will pray, and they will actually see visions. I have seen them before. They will describe things that are accurate. They will predict things that will come to pass. Familiar spirit. And that was in the book of Acts. That was what Paul cast out of a young woman once. And that's how he got into trouble. Because the masters of that slave girl were collecting money from having her do divination for people. Now, that's just by the way. So the prince was casting out this demon out of this young woman. And the demon acted up and gave the girl a vision. And the girl said, look, I see you in a red car that was accidented against a tree. That is, he was implying that the guy died in that accident. And the prince, being a man of God who had understanding of the things of God, just said to her very calmly that what you have seen, now listen to this. He said, what you have seen is a plan that the devil has for my life. And I don't walk, listen, I don't walk in the devil's plan. So what he was saying, I need to be walking in the devil's plan, is that okay, for that to manifest in my life. I need to be walking in the devil's plan. So and he didn't pray about it. That was the end of the discussion. He never had any accident. Listen, if you are afraid, a lot of us have been held in bondage. I've seen people that can't travel because a man with a familiar spirit said to him, yesterday you ate yam in the morning and plantain in the afternoon, and at night you ate beans, and it was correct. He said, now that spirit says, I should tell you, don't go to Onitsha again, and you live in Enugu. Don't ever go to Onitsha, because I saw you in a bus that had an accident on the road. And the man never takes that road again. The man is going to Onitsha, all right? He needs to pass. He will first go to Owerri, go to Aba, go and cross from another angle to get, because a familiar spirit has put him in bondage. I have seen a very rich man who had a big house he was living in, who couldn't live in the house because the people who operated a funny kind of church, a white garment church, told him some things. So he started sleeping in the church. Familiar spirit put the guy into bondage. Please, I'm not talking in detail about presentation. I'm trying to link it to everything we have been saying. So you see, Satan can have his plan. It doesn't mean that your life must follow the plan of Satan. But what do? We make our choices. That's what I'm saying. That's what I discussed in that book, Choices, Key to Destiny. We make our choices, and it's by the actions that we do, by the thought patterns in our hearts, by the seeds that we sow, that those are the things that decide whether we'll follow the plan of God for our lives, or we'll follow the plan of the devil and end up somewhere bad. Are you getting my point? So if we want to walk, now let me get back to it. If we want to walk in financial prosperity, all right, there are things that are scriptural. Remember I quoted from Psalm 118, there are different gates, and from Matthew chapter 7, there are different gates by which you can enter into something. And the gate by which you enter into decides what that thing will bring into your life. So if you enter into financial prosperity as a blessing of God, it does not add sorrow to it. Do you understand my point? But if you enter through the path of Satan, the Bible says that these are the things that men have lusted after and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You follow what I'm trying to explain there? So now, we now said these are the paths of God. These are the ways of God into financial prosperity. God has planned, let me say it, has proposed abundance for his children. Yes, he desires that at the beginning we learn how to bear, lack. But the ultimate plan he has for you, the ultimate plans he has for me, is that you have abundance. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and in chapter 9, he said it like this. He said, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. That's God's plan. John said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. That's God's plan. But I'm saying that for us to experience that plan of God, for us to experience that purpose of God, he says we have to cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit. He says 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Is that okay? So we are saying these are the steps we take. These are the things we do that establish us in financial prosperity. We said there are foundations and pillars. And those are the things we have been discussing. Is that okay? Last time I spoke on the issue of patience. Very vital. Now, today now, I began to talk from the life of Jabez. Because this is very important. Let me just quickly go over that scripture again so that we'll understand. That Jabez was a man whose name was Son of Sorrow. That's the meaning of the word Jabez. And the reason why his mother gave him that name was because of the pain in which she brought him forth. And if you read through the scriptures, and even our contemporary days, it's a known fact amongst the peoples that a man's name, is that okay, actually affects his destiny. Is that all right? Now, that thing is a matter of fact. That's why most people that God will meet, he will tell them, this is your name, but now I call you this. You are Jacob, but now I call you Israel. You are Simon, now I call you Peter. You are Abram, now I call you Abraham. That is, he changes because there's a story around each name. There are two things around every name. There is a history and there is a prediction or a destiny. Are you getting my point? There is a history and then, that is, where did the name come from? There's a story behind it. And from that story, a path has been drawn for the person's future. So people bear all kinds of names. That's why, look, listen, people say that it doesn't matter. I personally believe it matters. That's my personal conviction. People have said that it doesn't matter, I can bear any name. I will never bear a name that I don't believe in. Jesus looked at the coin. They asked Jesus, should we pay taxes to Caesar? He said, whose likeness and whose inscription is this when they brought him a coin? They said, Caesar's. He said, therefore this belongs to Caesar. That's what he said. He said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. That is, if you are using the coin of Caesar, if you are using Caesar's monetary system, which is proved by the fact that his photograph and his signature is on it, then you have to pay him taxes. What is he saying? That is, each person carries the inscription and the image of the person he belongs to. Therefore, you cannot call me the name of a God I do not serve, and I will bear it with pride. You can't. You name me after gods that my ancestors worshipped. And I stopped worshipping that God. In fact, my father did not even worship the God. It's 3 generations ago that they worshipped it. Yet I'm bearing the name. What story am I telling? Look, for me, it's just indecent. That's my personal conviction. It's just indecent. How would you like to marry a woman? You understand my point? And she's bearing the name of one boyfriend she wanted to marry. And you say, it doesn't matter. I don't nonsense. I don't believe in all of that. Are you getting my point? I see these days. Very common. Women marry, they don't want to drop the father's name. Because maybe he's an influential man. A very known politician. So now join the name to the husband's own. I said, the man that agrees for that, he's on his own. I will never agree. If you love your father, stay with him. The Bible says, forget your father's house and your husband shall love thee. That was the prophecy with which I married. As my wife entered, she picked my name. I gave her even, not only surname, did I give her, another name. Now, I'm explaining something. No, listen, these are scriptural issues. I mean, so Jabez was not a good name. It wasn't a good name. When Rachel gave a name to Benjamin, she called him, I think, Benoni. Because of all the wahala, the father said, not here. Gave his own name. It's very important. Jabez was not a good name. Son of sorrow, as a boy is going on the road, he said, wahala boy, come. That's what they were calling the boy. You won't kill your mama, come. You know those kind of names. So this boy won't kill your mama, come. If it was an American Indian, they would spell it out. I almost died while giving birth to this child. Come. That was the meaning of son of sorrow. And if it didn't matter, why would Jabez have prayed about it? I'll tell you what happened to him. I'm conjuring this up based on my understanding of the way things work spiritually. I believe his life was met with a lot of difficulty. Doors were closed to him. He put out his hand to things and he did not succeed. And one of it, because the spirits around, the forces of life, were latching onto the prophecy that his name was reflecting, and they were frustrating him. And the man went to God in prayer, which is what my message for today is. The fact that this guy went to God in prayer, and by a simple prayer, turned his destiny. I read a book some time ago called The Prayer of Jabez by Bruce Wilkinson. Beautiful book. I recommend everybody read it. The Prayer of Jabez. Simple book, not detailed analysis. Just showed how people pray to God and God responded. That we approach to God in simple faith and God will respond. You know, we're talking about the foundations and pillars of financial prosperity. The one I'm talking about today is a matter of prayer. Very important. Prayer is one major sign that you actually trust in God and you don't trust in yourself. There's a prayer. Look, let me tell you something. I have found that God delights in answering prayers. And I said, but he said he doesn't like working miracles. What I said, there are 2 different things. When I say God doesn't like working miracles, what I mean, people just want to live life carelessly. And one moment shout, God of miracles. And then things just change. You have borrowed money from everybody. You know you don't have money to pay. Then the day before, when they want to recover their money, say, I go to church and sow a special seed that heavens might open. And then you lived under open heavens. All you experience is open troubles. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? Because of stupidity. That's the kind of miracle I say God doesn't answer, usually work. But God answers prayers. Yes, he does. If somebody, because you see, I've seen people a lot of times, they talk. They say that, no, I can never do this. My commonest example, people are afraid of it and some people confess it. Because my parents were separated. it looks like I'm afraid to marry because me too, I will have that problem. And some men and even women say, I can never marry a spouse who comes from a home, they're from a broken home. Listen, there's a very simple way to handle those things. I have seen people break serious engagements because of certain history in some in the man or the woman's family. Serious men, serious women, they say, he's displaying this kind of trait. He's like this. I say, how do you handle such things? That's why you're a Christian. That's why I wrote that book, He That Believes. I recommend you read it. He That Believes. That is, you can't claim to be a believer and you're walking exactly like the people that don't know God. You make your predictions just like the way every cousin and brother and sister of yours from your village makes their predictions. What makes you a believer? This is what it does. Go and read Hebrews chapter 4. It said, we draw near to the throne of grace and we obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. It's very simple. You just crawl to your room one day and pray to God. I have heard that people say this and this and this, and it appears like that will be my destiny. So I have come today like Jabez. Oh, that you will bless me indeed and give me a good husband, that I will never experience a broken home, that I will have children that will bless me and be a blessing to their generation, that I will live to old age with my wife and with my husband and my children. Listen to me. If you ask in faith, just quietly, you don't have to go to church, just enter your bedroom and ask in the name of Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, anything you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Anything. That's what makes us Christians. There are things, look, I told my wife then, and God is good. There is nothing. Marry me, I will take you all over the world. Believe me, I have prayed that prayer and I'm so certain I'm going to take her all over the world. Pastor Bank, do you have the money now? It's besides the point. I prayed the prayer years ago. God heard me. God heard me. And I know for sure that that's exactly what he will do. There is nothing my wife will ever desire that I will not give to her in this lifetime. Do you have the money? Absolutely besides the point. How do I know I'm going to get it? Because simply, like Jabez, I have gone to God. Oh, that you will bless me indeed and give me the ability to make this woman happy. Oh, that you will bless me indeed, that there is nothing that my soul will desire in life that I will not get. Oh, that you will bless me indeed, that all the hindrances that people prophesy will never stop me. Oh, that you will bless me indeed. That's all. God indeed is God. No, if he stretches out his hands, nobody can turn it back. He said, I act, who can hinder it? I'm not, look, listen, that's why I wrote the book, He That Believes. I believe God for serious things. You don't break serious engagements because you hear that the girl's grandfather, something is wrong with him. You simply go home and say, God, you know how much I love this young woman. I have heard this story, but I will not hold on to what they are holding on to. And I'm asking for your favor in the name of Jesus Christ. Go ahead and marry and forget all the nonsense. Her grandfather could have shot her grandmother. And the other one could have run away with seven other men. That is arrogant nonsense. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, they have become new. That's the power of Christianity. It's not come to church. People think it's about dressing and going to church on Sunday. Which one do you go to? Your life and the life of you don't expect God to do anything for you. You think as foolishly as everybody else in the world. You have no cognizance of the fact that the power of God exists. You will never apply for a job except you know somebody. That's why you have never gotten anything. You want a job? Oh, that you will bless me indeed. Yes, God, I like to work here. I like to work here. There is a good thing I can learn from working here. The problem we have is that covetousness doesn't let all things straight anymore. God knows that what is driving you is money, money, money. So he doesn't answer. He said, you ask and you receive not. Why? Because you ask according to your lusts. You ask amiss. That's what he said. If you ask in sincerity, believe me, God indeed answers prayers. Indeed, he answers prayers. When you don't know anybody, you'll be amazed at how God raises help for your favor. What am I talking about? Jabez. Jabez's name was not good. It was affecting his life. And he went to God simply. Listen, let's make it again practical. Look, you have seen poverty. You feel like you are from Bangladesh. Yes, you have seen. Even school self, you know you didn't finish. Look, everything put together, it appears like another generation before this poverty vanishes. Let me end it for you tonight. It's very simple. You simply crawl home. Look, bring out that Jabez's prayer, rewrite it, put your own name. Just simply repeat it. He said, oh God, oh that you will bless me indeed
and enlarge my border and make me great and build for me great companies and make me a blessing to my generation and make it so that my children will not see the kind of poverty I came out of. A lot of people are very, oh God, Satan is leading them further into poverty. Human beings cannot drag you out of poverty. You can't marry a rich girl because you want her father's money. Neither can you marry a rich man because you think his money will put you out of poverty. Let me tell you what pulls children of God out of poverty. It is prayer and faith. If you will approach to God with prayer and faith, your tomorrow will be secure. Listen, if you like, run to Australia, run to America, run to England, run everywhere you like. One thing I know is that curses and problems don't need visa to follow people. That's one that doesn't need your visa. It enters your pocket as you are going. It's in your soul. It's not geographical. If you don't understand what I'm saying, a problematic Nigerian is a problematic American. So before you start running up and down, if you want to go to places, don't go because of money. Go because of purpose. Have a serious reason. You want to go to school or something, whatever it is you want to do. If you want to solve the problem of poverty, you solve it with prayer. I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make here. That's what I'm discussing with us today. And Jabez said, God bless me. I believe very strongly. After that, I stopped bearing the name Jabez. I was not born with the name Daniel. It's one of the names I bear now. As an adult, I picked the name. If you go and read my tract, Daniel. Download it from our website. If you can't get a physical copy. Daniel. That's the story of my life. Daniel is a prophetic name. Literally, you know what it means? God my judge. Daniel means God my judge. What does it mean? If you go and read Psalm 75, it said God is judge. It said promotion does not come from the east or the west or from the south. It said, but God is judge. He brings down one and lifts up another. I said, the meaning of God is judge means that he can lift me up and he will lift me up. He's not bringing me down. I'm of faith in Christ Jesus. He's not bringing me down. He said, God rules in the affairs of men. The heavens, he says, rules in the affairs of men. He said, God sets upon the kingdoms of men the lowliest of all men. That is anybody God desires, he can bless. And I read the scripture, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 12. It said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. When I finished reading everything together, I said, listen, struggles will not bless me in life. If one of the ways by which God imprinted that thing into my mind was after I finished my youth service in 1993, I went to Lagos. Events took me to Lagos. I hated that place as a person. But God said, I want you to go there, sojourn for a few years before I bring you down to Enugu. Now, I'm looking at it in retrospect now, all right? Stay there for a few years, and now bring that to Enugu to come and preach my gospel. I didn't hear voices like that then. It's now that it has happened, I realized what happened then. I got to Lagos because of where I served. I needed to go and just get something done after my service. Events happened, and I stayed there. And God showed me something. Then I had friends who had plotted to just be able to earn enough money to buy a Honda Quintet. I don't know if you know Honda Quintet. One tiny Honda, smaller than Honda Civic of those days. You know how small the Civic of those days were? They wanted to mortgage their whole life. People in Lagos will work, doctors, work three jobs. You know what it means to work three jobs? 8 to 3, 3 to 9, 9 to 8 in the morning. Hoping that when they are on night duty, they'll be able to sleep. At the end of the day, you put everything together. 15,000 naira a month salary. 5,000 from three different places. Why? They wanted to buy a car. And then God put me in a place where I saw people earn money. I saw men buy shoes for 25,000 naira a pair when adult medical doctors were working 24 hours to earn 15,000 naira a month. Men bought shoes for 15,000 naira. This is shocking, but this is a matter of fact. I always say that I put my feet in them so that to be like I'm not any lies. A pair of those shoes, the second pair was 50,000 for a pair. I saw men make 2-3 phone calls and earn 700,000 naira. And they were not stealing. Did I get covetous? No, I didn't get covetous. One lesson I learned, it was I see if God was telling me, Banky, if I don't bless you, struggles can never bless you. I said, God, I don't want to die. If you won't bless me in life, let me remain poor. That was my conclusion. As for me to be walking like this and eating what the Bible calls the bread of sorrows, at the end of this walk, you don't even have anything. So I told the Lord, oh, that you will bless me indeed. And that was when I read the scripture. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Since that day, I was not afraid. When it was time to leave Lagos, I could, good enough, I didn't like rowdy cities. I packed my bag and gladly left. When I was there, people say, why are you going to Enugu? Money is in Lagos. I say, money is not anywhere. My blessings follow me to wherever I go. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river. Not you running after it. It flows towards you. He said, these blessings shall run after you, catch up with you, and overtake you. Wherever you go. Listen, since that day, listen, I was not afraid anymore. Economic upturn or downturn, it won't shake me. Are you getting my point? I have become like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. Verse 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He said his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He said he will be like a tree firmly planted by rivers of water. And you know what he said? He who brings forth his fruit in its season. He said that man's leaves shall never wither. And in whatever he does what? He prospers. So I chose what I wanted to do. Because I know that prosperity will come upon me anywhere I go. If God says tomorrow, Banky, enough in the Onenugu, time to go to Malawi. I will pack my bag. I'm not afraid. I am not afraid. Because my blessing, are you getting what I'm saying? Is not geographical. It's my assignment that's geographical. My blessing is inside my soul. If I walk into the Sahara Desert with God's blessing upon my head, it will sprout for my sake. Springs will shoot all over the place. Springs. They will say we thought it was a desert. Yes, that's what they thought when Abraham was choosing one part that Lot left behind. But God now said to Abraham, lift up your eyes, look around. I will bless you so much. Everything that Lot chose, your descendants will inherit it. Please, I hope you've gotten the point I'm trying to make so. You understand what I'm going to say? That listen, this is the thing about believers. No matter what the economic situations look like, we can by the power of our simple faith in God. You know what Jesus said in that Mark chapter 11? He said, when they asked him, how did you cause this tree and this happened? He said, if you can believe, I'm putting many scriptures together, also from Mark chapter 9, all things are possible to him that believe. He said, if you speak to this mountain, be moved, and you don't doubt in your heart. He said, therefore, I say unto you, when you stand praying, believe, whatever you ask God for, once you believe, you shall have exactly. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. That is, Jesus made it very clear. There are no troubles enough out there to stop the manifestation of God's blessings. What do? We look at the mountain and we speak. Once there is faith in our hearts. Therefore, I have looked at the mountain that tomorrow can be. And I have declared that my future is bright and I will get there. I have declared it. That the prosperity of God will come into my life. Why? He said, because he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Therefore, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. There's nothing that economic hardship can do to me. Listen to me. Let me prophesy to you. If you believe these words, you will prosper in this life. Listen, what I'm saying is a matter of fact. If you believe these words, you will prosper in this life. Another thing, you won't die young. I don't care whether you have cancer now. You will not die. Because you see, you know what God does? Once the word is spoken, look, once he said to Mary, you will have a son. Even though there was no husband, you know what I mean? She will still have that child. So since God has declared that I will prosper, you know what that means? There's nothing Satan can do to stop it. If God has declared that you prosper, listen to me, you will not die. You know what happened to Simon? God said, this one, you will see the salvation of the Lord. The man lived and lived. He was a very old man. But the word that was keeping him alive was so strong that he couldn't die until he saw that thing. And I'm prophesying again to you that you will not die also until you have seen the salvation of God in your life. I hope you've gotten my point.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.